And we're going to go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 11. You know, the reason I don't like doing that is because when a preacher knows he's getting ready to preach, he studies and prepares and prays and gets a hold of God. And I believe God's given Brother Roger a message for us. But I just want to obey the Lord tonight. And I really feel like we need to go this direction. So here we go. 2 Kings chapter 11 and verse number 1 through verse number 3 is where we're going to read tonight. 2 Kings, the 11th chapter, and the first verse through the third verse. Remember, next Sunday morning we're going to have a great service. July 4th is next Sunday, and we're just going to really focus on liberty and focus on that. So you be in much prayer, and I want you to invite as many folks as you can to that service. We're going to do our best to preach to the lost and just believe God for a great Sunday morning. All right? That's next Sunday. 2 Kings chapter 11, verse number 1. It says, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain. And he was with her, hid in the house of the Lord 6 years. And Athaliah did reign over the land. You may be seated tonight. Let me give you a little history about this before we get into the message. When we talk about Israel and we talk about Judah, the kingdoms at this time were divided. So we've got Judah that was the southern kingdom, and we've got Israel that was the northern kingdom. At this time, Ahab was king of Israel. And of course, he was married to Jezebel, who is a very, very wicked woman. In fact, Scripture depicts her as the epitome of wickedness. I mean, she was not just content with leading Israel into idolatry. She was also responsible for trying to kill all the true prophets of God. She did not want Israel at all to worship the one and true God. And so she was, if you will, satanically moved upon to commit the horrendous acts that she did. I believe the devil was right behind her, inspiring her. And so at this time, we've got Ahab and Jezebel, and they're the kings of the northern kingdom, and they produced an offspring, a girl, by the name of Athaliah. And Athaliah turned out to be just like her mother. She wasn't quite as wicked as Jezebel was, but she was still a very, very wicked person. Ahab, king of Israel in the north, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah in the south. So in the north, you've got Ahab and Jezebel. In the south, you've got King Jehoshaphat. They arranged the marriage of their children in hopes of bringing these two kingdoms together. And if you will, it was a marriage made in hell. King Ahab, his daughter Athaliah, was married to King Jehoshaphat's son named Jehoram. You see, the northern kingdom of Israel had been led astray. I mean, they were far away from God. And Israel had been led into the worship of Baal. And Athaliah, made after her mother's image, also promoted the idolatry that was so rampant in the land at that time. Jezebel is pointed in Scripture as the epitome of wickedness. The book of Revelation, I wanted to bring this out. She is used as a symbol of the harlot church. After Jehoram's death, and Athaliah was married to Jehoram. He died, and before he died, he killed all his brothers. I believe Athaliah was behind that. And after Jehoram died, her son Ahaziah, which was King Ahab's grandson, became king. He was king for just a short time, and then he died. And when he died, Athaliah's love for power, her greed for power, pushed her to kill all the heirs to the throne. She was so much wanting the throne herself that she killed all of Ahab's grandsons that were in line, heir to the throne, except one. There happened to be a faithful woman in that day, and she was married to the high priest. Her name was Jehosheba. And Jehosheba was a godly, godly woman. Upon hearing of Athaliah's evil plot to kill all the offspring, she secretly stole into the king's palace. She went into the nursery, the place where the children were. And she took young Joash and his nurse, and she hid them. And for 6 years, she raised them in the temple. Her and her husband, the high priest, raised young Joash in the temple. The story goes on that after Joash turned 7 years of age, he was brought forth and proclaimed king. Hallelujah. The devil's plot had been to get rid of Joash. Amen. Do you understand that the Lord was going to come through the seed of David? It was God's plan through David's seed to bring the Messiah. And Joash was the last remaining descendant that had heir to the throne. And if the devil could have killed Joash, if the devil could have succeeded in killing all the descendants, he not only would have killed the heir to the throne, but he would have thwarted God's plan to bring a Redeemer to this world. You understand, when things go on in the natural, in the flesh, I want you to know there's always a supernatural force working behind it. Every war, every uprising, everything that has ever taken place does not happen just because of somebody's greed. It happens because the devil is at work. Amen. And clear back here in the Old Testament, we see the working of the devil trying to thwart the plan of God. The devil wanted to kill him, and he saw an opportunity to destroy God's plan. But God, hallelujah, had a woman by the name of Jehosheba, who was a godly woman, who was led by God, who feared God, who worshiped God. And I believe God spoke to her one day and gave her the plan in order that she might save the plan of God. God always works through His people. I know He can send angels, and I know He can send angelic messengers, but for the most part, God works through His servants. And oh, we're living in a day and hour. We need more than just pew warmers. We need men and women of God and young people who will say, God, use me and let me be available for your work. Amen. The devil's active and he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But oh, for some young men and some young women that would stand in the gap and hold up the hedge of holiness and righteousness and say, I want to be used of the Lord. I want God to do something in my life. And I believe Jehosheba was just that woman that God began to inspire and move upon. And she was not hesitant to follow after God's plan, but went quickly and took the young child Joash and hid him and raised him in secret until the day when Joash was brought forth at his coronation. Amen. God had promised that through David's seed that the Messiah would come, and Athaliah was certain that every heir to the throne was destroyed. Oh, that's just like the devil to get confident. Amen. I believe that the devil, oh yes, probably didn't even know about this one. I believe God just kept this one secret even from the devil. Can't prove it from Scripture, but when I would look over to the New Testament, when it talked about Jesus being crucified, it said, if the princes of this world had known it was the Son Son of God, they would not have crucified Him. So I believe God just kind of kept this one secret. Hallelujah. And then when the time came, amen, Jehosheba brought forth Joash to be proclaimed as king. Oh, praise God. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight about this subject, the battle of the mind. The battle of the mind. Amen. I understand in our story here, Athaliah was intent on killing her grandsons that were heir to the throne. Pushing her was Satan, who knew if he could kill young Joash, he could thwart God's plan. Amen. James chapter 1 verse 14 and 15 says, but every man, and that does not only include men, that includes women as well. Everyone it's talking about is tempted when they are drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Here's what I want to preach to you tonight. I believe that Athaliah, Jezebel's daughter, is symbolic of the devil. Follow me, if you will, for a few minutes here. I believe that young Joash could be symbolic of our mind. And thirdly, I believe that Jehosheba is symbolic of the inner conscience that God has built within every one of us. You understand what I'm preaching to you? If Athaliah, the devil, can destroy the mind, Joash, he has conquered a mighty great victory. He has wrought a mighty great victory and has really gained the power that he needs over a person's life. And yet, there is an inner conscience. It is the Spirit of God that is within man. That conscience that will stand up and say, that is wrong. All right, follow me just here for a little while. If Jehosheba had not rescued Joash, and Joash would have died, amen, there would have been no Messiah to come. There would have been no peace on earth. There would have been no eternity with God. There would have been nothing but unrighteousness and hopelessness. Amen. Do you understand how vital that your mind is? If the devil can get control of your mind, if he can get a foot into your mind, if he can get a finger into the door of your mind, amen, then there'll be no peace, there'll be no eternity with God, there will be no righteousness, there will be chaos and nothing but helplessness. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. And as Christians, it is our conscience, the inner voice of the Spirit of God that deals with our mind and our heart. It is that inner voice that tells us and pushes us into making the right decisions. Over in John chapter 8, there is a situation where the scribes and the Pharisees were accusing a woman that was found in adultery. And when they went to her, and went to Jesus rather, here's what he had to say about it. Here's the story. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Their own conscience convicted them because they did not have a sinless life. Here's what I want to preach to you tonight. This battle of the mind, this conscience, Jehosheba, and the devil, Athaliah, are battling, if you will, one on one side and one on the other for your mind. And the way the battle goes is going to depend on the decision that you make. You are a free moral agent, and God has given you the ability to choose between right and wrong. So if you go and follow after Athaliah, you're going to lose your soul out to the devil. If you'll listen to your conscience, the inner spirit of God, you will follow after righteousness and have an eternity to live with the Lord. I'm not minimizing salvation here. I'm primarily preaching tonight to Christians. As Christians, we have to battle this thing called the battle of the mind. Every day we're going to have to battle this. Amen. The devil will not let up just because you've been saved for 5 years. He will not let up just because you've lived for God for 50 years. He will put fear, doubt, and all kinds of other things into your mind. And if you will allow it, you will follow after that and give place to the devil. Amen. If you will stay sensitive, though, to the Holy Ghost, and stay in the Word of God, as Brother Steve's been doing this week, and staying in your knees in prayer, and staying, keeping yourself pure unto the Lord, you'll go the right way. You see, every one of us make a decision every day which way we're going to go. We battle with that mind. Your conscience, the inner speaking of the Spirit of God, will convict you and begin to cause you to have to make a decision. You'll come to crossroads, is really what it amounts to. And you'll have to decide which turn you're going to make. That's exactly how the devil works. He brings it to you. You are there. The crossroad is there. Conscience is screaming in one ear saying, don't take that turn. And the devil on the other hand is pulling and prodding and pushing and getting you and enticing you. Amen. That's exactly how he works. Matthew chapter 5 verse 27, you see, it's not just in the actions, but it also, you can sin also in your mind. Jesus said in Matthew 5:27, you've heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. The very reason that many Christians are having struggles and not overcoming is because they have not gotten victory over their mind. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And if your mind is not stayed on Christ, if your mind is not stayed on God, very easily the devil will come in and he will begin to pull you away. You say, Brother Johnston, why are you preaching this tonight? After a wonderful move of God this morning and a tremendous move of God again tonight, it is too easy to go into tomorrow with an assurance, and there's nothing wrong with being assured, but with an assurance that sometimes gets dangerously shallow. What I mean is this, we shout Sunday night, we have a great time, and then tomorrow we're still basking, we're still feeding on it, but we don't have the same intensity to pray like we did Sunday. And we begin to make room for the devil. I'm telling you, tomorrow you're going to have to make up your mind whether or not you're going to live for God tomorrow. And Tuesday you're going to have to come to a crossroads again. And Brittany, there'll be a temptation that comes that may say, oh, I want to get that CD again. I like that song. That wasn't such a bad song after all. But that decision's going to have to be made. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Nobody else in my house may live it, but I'm going to live it. Amen? You're going to have to make that decision to live for God. That's part of the battling that you go through. And every one of us have to face that. Whether we've been saved for, again, 5 or 50 years, it is part of what we go through. Why is it so many that are having problems with their mind? I believe it's because they're not feeding it with the right things. I knew a young friend of mine, Mark Wallace, Ontario, Canada. His parents, they were older. They'd had him when they were older. He was a young fella, my age. And he was almost young enough to be their grandson. they allowed Mark, they didn't do this to any of the other children, they were already grown and out of the nest, already had their own family. Mark was allowed to eat anything he wanted to. And he chose pizza and Coke. Not bad for a one-time shot, but every day he ate pizza and Coke. He ate cold pizza for breakfast. He ate pizza for supper and Coke. He had a diet of pizza and Coke. By the time Mark was 18, he had serious ulcers. He had serious stomach problems. I believe that the reason that many have problems with their mind, they're not feeding it with the right thing. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. But where do most Christians get their mindset from? Well, the Bible says that the eyes are the gates to the soul. And that which we behold is that which we intake. And I submit to you tonight, church, that the very reason that a lot of folks battle with their mind is because of what is intook. That intake is, for the most part, not that which promotes godliness. Amen. You say, Brother Johnson, I can't follow you tonight. I don't know where you're going. You hang on. Would you agree with me that we live in a world that is anti-God? Would you agree with me, even in the United States of America that was founded upon God's principles, that we have become a nation that has promoted ungodliness? I'm not saying we don't have the church. I'm not saying we still don't have righteousness. I'm not saying we don't have a great nation. But I am telling you, it's not getting any better. Same-sex marriage, homosexuality on every corner, and now in churches and supposedly ordained of God, it is not, sir. And we're being fed this ungodliness. And all around us, even in our Christian bookstores, amen, there's stuff in there that ought not even be in a Christian bookstore. It does not promote righteousness and godliness. So for the most part, Christians battle with their mind because of the intake. Here's what I'm saying. You've got to be careful with what you read. You've got to be careful with what you see. You've got to be careful with what you hear. Because that is the intake to the soul. I think you'll agree with me. And for the most part, television has not done anything but promote ungodliness in this last era that we've had it. Oh yeah, it probably started out good, and I know all those old shows, I understand that. But for the most part, today, we're living in an era where television has promoted ungodliness, promiscuity. Amen. We've got programs of teenagers that are shacking up and having ungodly affairs. And I mean, the list goes on. I had one preacher get really mad at me about preaching against television. He said, well, I've got a television. He said, I only watch it for the news, and I know some of you do that, and I am not condemning you tonight. Please don't take me wrong. But I did ask him this. I said, sir, in the course of this last year, did you watch something on television the whole way through the program and afterwards were convicted about it and knew you should have turned it off back then when you first started and you didn't? And he said, I must not lie. I cannot lie. Yes, I did. I said, was it more than once? He said, yes, it was. I said, therefore, I submit to you that the television, the industry, I'm not talking about the box, I'm talking about the entertainment industry, has done more damage to promote ungodliness, and for the most part, we as Christians just take it in. And it ain't no wonder we have problems with battling. I grew up on television. I know what I'm talking about. I grew up going to horror movies. And I remember nights I'd wake up in the middle of the night with those images and screaming. And my mom would come in and I'd broke out in a sweat. And, Dave, what's wrong? Oh, Mom, it was horrible. I understand. I know what that's about. And I'm saying the battle of our mind, if we're not careful, we will allow those things to come in and we'll be desensitized. We came upon a horrible, horrible car wreck in New Mexico several years ago. Courtney was young. It was terrible. I will not even begin to describe the horribleness of it. Unbelievable. And I got up to that window, and I can't even stand the sight of blood. It just makes me nauseous, but it just seemed like just something kicked in. Must have been the Lord just to helping me. And I tried to lead that lady to Jesus. She was so incoherent. And I won't even describe. I can't even go into detail. It was the most horriblest accident I've ever come upon. And you know what? I went away from that. And I was so shook. And I thought to myself, you know, you've seen worse than that on television. You've seen worse than that. Hey man, oh, I want you to know, there's a real devil out there that is using all kinds of instruments to try to infiltrate the church of Jesus Christ. And if you're not careful, you'll get caught right up in that. And the reason we can have a glorious church service on Sunday morning and Sunday night and shout the victory, and it's wonderful, but then we'll go home and we'll intake, digest, and we'll consume those things which are not godly. I'm preaching to you tonight, it's time to turn from that and think on those things that are pure. And those things which are honest. And those things which are of good report. Amen. If you don't safeguard yourself, the devil will come right back in. Amen. Some people have been convicted of things and they've given them up over the years. Some just hide them in a drawer. And then when the temptation comes, they don't have to go out and buy them anymore. They're right there. Brittany did the exact thing that should have been done. She went, got those CDs, came back, tore them up. Amen. Couldn't use them again. If she goes back and listens to them, she has to make a conscious decision to go out and buy it again in order to do that. Amen. You know why she broke them up? You know why she gave them up? Because it was ungodliness that was saturating her mind. Amen. We must safeguard that. Hallelujah. You young folks, that's why we have rules and regulations in dating. It's because that if we just allow anything to go, if there's no rules, if there's no safeguards, pretty soon one thing will lead to another. Amen. Situations the devil will get a foothold in. Oh, I'm telling you, church, we need to safeguard ourselves and our mind. Amen. You may never commit an act like murder. But the Bible says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. John 3:15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You haven't done it as far as an act is concerned. But if you've done it in your mind, the Bible says you're just the same as a murderer. We must safeguard. There's a battle for the mind. Tonight, when you leave this place, the devil will battle you. The devil will be there to tempt you. Amen. You're going to have enough of God to say, I'm going to live for Jesus. Devil, get thee behind me. Amen. You don't have to put up with that. You don't have to battle with that. Always, there's going to one day be, amen, a day of victory. I was asked that by a young man who had just gotten saved. He said, Brother Johnston, will we always have to battle against those things that come into our mind? A story is told about a man and a husband and wife. They were at the mall. And the wife, she was busy looking at something in the window there at one of the stores. The husband happened to, out of his peripheral vision, notice a young lady in a very short miniskirt coming along. And he saw his wife was busy and he stole a glance. And he looked again. And he stared a little bit. Finally looked back. She'd never moved. Wife was still looking in the window, and without hesitation, the wife said, honey, was the look really worth all the trouble that you're in? You understand? We've got to safeguard our mind. Let me talk to you men for a minute. Let me talk to you young men for a minute. That's why God puts swivels between our head and our shoulders. Come on. We know men are stimulated by sight. Woman is stimulated by touch. Amen. That's why God allowed us to have swivels right here. It's not the first look that is sin. It's the second look. It's the lingering look. You don't even have to commit an act. If you do it in your mind and lust after her, you, according to Scripture, Jesus said, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Boy, that's pretty stiff, isn't it? But you know what safeguards us? We don't go to the mall and purposely look around for some scantily clad woman who's trying to seduce us. We don't purposely look around for somebody in a tight miniskirt or tight clothes or loosely, just barely has clothes on. We don't look for that, but it's there. You go to the grocery store and you go through the stand and the smut that is there is unbelievable. So we don't stand there and go, woo-wee, start drooling. But the devil puts those things in our path in order to divert our attention to where we'll look again. Amen. The man on the street that's not a sinner, he'll whistle. Amen. He'll make crude remarks. But the child of God must safeguard their mind and not even allow a second look. Amen. That's right. That goes for women too. Women, yeah. I'm trying to help you tonight and say this. We've got to safeguard our minds. There's a battle raging. And if the devil can get a foothold in, maybe it's the music we listen to. Maybe it's the talk shows we listen to. Maybe it's that which we see on television. Maybe it's that which we have in our possession in reading material. Whatever it is, you're saying, preacher, we can't do anything. All you want us to do is just read the Bible and sing 305. That's what it takes to get to heaven, then so be it. Amen. What's wrong with reading the Bible anyhow? That's what we ought to be doing. That'll safeguard your mind. Hide God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. Amen. Well, will we always have to battle the mind? In our text, 2 Kings chapter 11, and the guard stood, every man with his weapons in his hand, round about the king. From the right corner of the temple to the left corner of the temple, along by the altar and the temple. And he brought forth the king's son. And they put a crown upon him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, God save the king. Verse 13 says, when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people of the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason. But Jehoiada, the priest, commanded the captains of the hundreds, the officers of the host, and said unto them, have her forth without the ranges, and him that followeth her, kill with the sword. For the priest hath said, let her not be slain in the house of the Lord. And they laid hands on her, and she went by the way with the horses, which the horses came into the king's house, and there was she slain. Will we always have to fight this battle of the mind? Listen. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast. Brother Whistler. Cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. Will there come a day when we no longer have to battle fear? Will there come a day when we no longer have to battle doubt? Will there come a day when we no longer have to battle impure thoughts? Oh yes. And the devil will be cast into the lake of fire. Woo! For the saint of God, it'll come a lot sooner than that. It'll come when the rapture of the church takes place. When the redeemed are gathering in. Washed like snow. Whoa, praise God. So there's coming today. But while we're here, while we're tearing, while we're still fighting this good fight, let's remember to safeguard our mind. If you don't, the devil will get in. Yeah. Just like he got into my computer. Just like they got right past the firewall. Right past that security program. And planted cookies in my computer. Yeah. So what did I do? I got another program that would take care. And recent updates are what is needed to make sure that hackers can't get into your system. Mm-mm-mm-mm. We're in this world, but we're not a part of this world. Amen. We have another citizenship. We've got another country we're heading to. But while we're here, there is a possibility that the devil can gain entrance into your mind if you don't safeguard it. You've got to safeguard it. And I dare say, if men and women had a safeguarded their minds, marriages would have been saved. And I dare say that if mom and dads had a safeguarded their homes, their children wouldn't have been in the condition they're in. I'm telling you, we must safeguard our minds. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Amen. Put on the mind of Christ. Amen. If you'll do that, you will succeed in keeping the devil out. Come Wednesday night, we'll have another service like we did this morning and tonight. Come next Sunday, we'll have another move of God. You know why? Because half the church isn't coming to church getting prayed through first. Yeah. Make up your mind to serve the Lord. Not just on Sunday, but every day of the week. Whew! Well, that's good pastoral preaching tonight. Amen. Amen. When the Pharisees had heard that they'd put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. If you'll practice that, you will keep the devil out. The battle will be there, but you'll win and you'll be victorious because you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to hear and, Lord, to receive that. And I pray, Lord God, that you'd plant it deep within our hearts, that we would be in a place, Lord, a place, God, of surrender unto you. And we'd love you, Lord, that our minds would be safeguarded from the enemy's attempts and the attacks. Lord, touch us, anoint us, give us power, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's come and pray. Spend a few minutes here before we leave here tonight. Amen. Let this message soak into your heart. I believe God has spoke to us tonight. First part of the service, second part of the service. Amen. Let's seal it tonight, church. What do you say? Hallelujah. Safeguard your mind tonight. Oh, God, keep me, Lord, in your provision. Keep me in your power.